Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." And we will just change the last word from "them" to "you," which is quite legitimate in this saying, for you are part, you and I, part of the children of Israel, the church of God, throughout all ages. And so the command is direct and specific. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, the pattern of the dwelling, the pattern of the furniture thereof, even so shall ye make it. And so the temple of the Lord comes into being. But these words were doubtless written by the scholar clergy who went into exile in Babylon, Isaiah 40 to 55, prophet of the exile, once again. Sorry, I keep coming back to that, but it is so significant. For you see, when the Jews went into exile, the greatest calamity was that they had no temple. They couldn't take it with them. It was in ruins anyway, through the invaders, and that was indeed a tremendous blow. The Temple of Solomon. And so they had somehow to find new ways of understanding, new identity. But in due course they came back and rebuilt their temple. The second temple, at the time of the building, it was said that you couldn't distinguish between the sounds of joy and the sounds of mourning. The older people, remembering the glory of the first temple, were somewhat disappointed by its replacement. They wouldn't, however, have been disappointed, I'm sure, by the magnificent construction of Herod the Great, constituting the third temple, which is the one, of course, that our Lord himself knew so intimately, the destruction of which he foresaw, and which some of his disciples lived actually to see, never to be built again. Although now we may go, as I have done, and no doubt some of you, to stand on the temple platform in Jerusalem, look at that incredible mosque, and just be taken aback by both the scale of the conception of the temple and its building, and, if you're like me, taken aback by the electric atmosphere of high tension that surrounds that place. An extraordinary place, put in the old maps as the center of the world from which everything else depends. Well, now, there in the map makers one finds perhaps a spiritual truth. But the point, of course, is surely the fact that we are the temple of the living God. This was St. Paul's vision. St. Paul, the ultra-traditional Jew, but with this blinding vision, not of how things must be according to law, but of how things are according to the love of God. And it is in his second letter to the church in Corinth that he says, the temple of the living God is what we are. And then he quotes Leviticus, I will establish my tabernacle among you. I will walk to and fro among you. I will become your God, and you shall become my people. It is important for us at this point in the history of Christianity, which I'm sure we would agree is a crucial point, to try to come to a new conception of the meaning of the church. And I don't think that we can get a clear blueprint such as was written so long ago for the Jewish temple. But we must, I think, reflect on the church in the present and in the future, and ourselves as the living temple. We can only do that by listening deeply to the Word of God. Let's receive now this word into our minds. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. It has probably not gone unnoticed that our word contemplation has in the middle of it the word temple, and this is important. The temple, by its root derivation, really means a space. A space, therefore, in which God may be considered to have his presence. And the work of contemplation is surely making space for God. That is something which sounds so easy, and yet, as we know, is sometimes so incredibly difficult. But we still plod on, as Robert says. The temple of the living God is what we are. And I want to quote a little bit from his book, The Threefold Reality. He writes, he, the I Am, expresses his self by dwelling and working in an endless multitude and diversity of uniquely individual perfected selves who are inwardly one with him and through him with each other. He fashions the corporeal reality according to the pattern of the spiritual and builds his city on earth. Because he dwells and walks in it, in the words of the Bible, it is his holy temple. Now, that requires deeper reflection than we need to give it at the moment. But I'm sure that you see the point, as in a sense the Jews in exile had to see it, and as St. Paul saw it very clearly, because he used the image of the temple to describe the universal church, the way that we are those who make space for the I Am to dwell and walk in us. And that, of course, does not depend on buildings. It depends on those perfected selves, as Robert calls them, who are inwardly one with him and through him with each other. That, I think, is Robert's vision of the fellowship to which we belong. And the significance of it is that we are the temple of the living God. And as St. Paul says in Ephesians, in him the whole building is bonded together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord. This is a very powerful and very important image and requires a lot of deep reflection on the part of those of us called to the prayer of silence as we try to become what we are and try, therefore, to lead our church into its true vocation as being the sanctuary in which the Lord dwells and moves and has his being. You are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the work of contemplation, and it is within the nature of the church. Let us now once again set aside our own thoughts to receive this word more deeply into our hearts. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Before we enter into our period of intercession, can we once again seek to incarnate this saying in a brief exercise in receiving the saying into our will? And I take the cue from the business of making space, which lies behind this saying, making space for God. We do lead very often busy and congested lives, and sometimes this may even reach the point of being quite frenetic activity. And whole sections of any day can go by in this way without perhaps pause for thought, let alone for prayer. Could we possibly just visualize a time when we are sort of particularly busy about our own busyness, whatever it may be? It may indeed be business for the Lord. That's a catch. Well, a catch because we can do nothing without him, yet we often try to do his work without him, and then we, of course, wonder why it all seems to crumble away. So let us visualize just very briefly a busy time a time of great activity, may even be within our church or church circle, or it may be domestically or in any other way. And then as we see ourselves caught up in this, answering phone calls or doorbells or running after this or that or trying to get things done within a certain time, just call a halt and recall this word. Make me a sanctuary. You know, give I am space, in other words. Just spend a few seconds to visualize and bring into focus that busy time, that activity, and ourselves caught up in it. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. So many of those for whom we wish to pray are often caught up one way or another, unable to make the space. All you who are busy about the church's work, you priests, faithful laity, especially those known to us here present, all you who bear responsibility in leadership in the churches, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among you. Members of the Fellowship of Contemplative Prayer, especially you members on the Council, you witnesses of the Word, leaders of prayer groups, and secretaries. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, Lord, for all your unsearchable riches that pour forth from you as light from the sun, whether received, ignored, or rejected. And now we offer to you, insofar as we are able, as an emptiness to be filled with your divine fullness, all that we are, all that we have, and all that we do, a living sacrifice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.